everybody. So I hope everybody is having a good day so far. Good week, good month. Bring on March, right? Is it the comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb? In like a lamb, out like a lion. Isn't that what they say? Spring equinox is this month. Super excited. Full moon is the 9th. It's coming up next week. So, if many of you are new to this path and you're just starting out, you may feel a little overwhelmed, especially with the internet. I mean, it's a great tool, but it can also be overwhelming because you're just inundated with loads of information and not sure where to go, what to do, and it can seem very overwhelming in the beginning. What I would say is, try not to feel like you have to take it all on. Just think about those things that resonate with you. So, you know, if you don't like crystals, don't, you know, spend a bunch of time with crystals. If you want and feel like, you know, you're more into herbs and plants, then do that. If you're, you know, a fire element and you love fire, and then look into candle magic and do that. Find one or two things that really resonate with you and try to learn as much as you can about them, and then add as you go. What you'll find is if you try to learn everything right off the bat, it'll just be overwhelming. You won't feel any confidence because you'll feel like you know just a little bit of everything and nothing very well. So that's what my suggestion would be, is to pick one or two things that you really like and, you know, study that. And I do want to use the word study because, you know, we like to say research, which is great. You know, you'll see a lot of people, do your research. Even I've said, do your research. Yeah, do your research. But research is different than study. Studying is when you go over the same material again and again so that you can commit it to memory. And that's the way, you know, if you want to be successful at this and you want to, you know, feel like it's a part of your life and truly feel like you're living it and not just dabbling, then you've got to study. You know, other spiritual paths are the same way. You know, you don't go and become a priest. You don't just sign up overnight and go, okay, I'm going to go perform mass now. They go to seminary school. You know, they have to study. And so this is no different. If people think that this is going to be, you know, just some easy way path to happiness, I worry that they're going to be disappointed. Again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. You get what you put in. You'll get out of it what you put into it. So, if this is something where you're really wanting to feel like it's a big part of your life and, you know, affects your everyday and becomes an integral part of who you are, then it's something that you need to study. And so that's what I want to encourage you to do. And don't get overwhelmed. Understand that it's going to take time. And just do your best. If you're anything like most of the population, we have very busy, hectic lives. You may find that you need to create space and time to do it. You may find that you have to make it a priority and actually schedule out some time to do that. But do what you need to do and do what you want to do. I'm certainly not telling people they got to do more than they want to do. But you know, I just want to encourage those of you who really want to adapt this path to, you know, become a lifestyle, then I just want to encourage you to spend time in it, because that's how you're going to connect with it. Okay, that said, moving on. My last podcast had some stuff about setting up an altar. I hope you all found that beneficial. Again, you don't have to have an altar, but I think in the beginning it helps to have those tangible things to connect with. I think it creates connection, and I think it helps. So I want to suggest a couple of books. Especially for beginners, I think it's really helpful. The Magical Year by Danu Forrest. I reference it loads, and it's all about the Wheel of the Year and all the Sabbats. And so I think it's very good. It'll give some rituals. It gives the historical information, and it takes every Sabbat as a chapter. So it spends a lot of time discussing the Sabbats, and I think it would be very beneficial for y'all. And then the other one is the Witch's Almanac 2020. That one, it starts with the spring of 2020 to spring of 2021. And it's going to have your monthly calendar in it. It's also got some other useful information, lots of just stories and articles and things like that. But it's got your calendar in it with the Sabbats and the moon phases and if you're a planter and things like that, when to propagate and seed and plant and all those things. And I think it's pretty helpful especially when you're starting out. I think it's helpful, period, for everybody, but when you're very first starting out, I think it's helpful. And then of course there's a lot of talk about, you know, having a book of shadows. I don't have anything that's like labeled a book of shadows. What I have is several books. One I have a book that's just basically rituals and spells. Then I have one that is just herbs, and I write in it kind of like my own little catalog of what I use what for. And then I have one that I use that is for dream journaling. And then I have one that I use for my tarot, where I do, when I draw my daily tarot, I write in that on a date. You could just use a notebook, you know, and write the date. I do happen to have a actual planner, so the dates are already there for me, but you don't have to have that. You could get a regular 3-ring spiral notebook and do it and write your own date in there. It doesn't matter. So I basically journal my tarot. There's also, you can spend a lot of money and buy tarot journals. So, you know, it just depends on what you want to do and what your finances are. You can spend 88 cents at the dollar store on a notebook, and that works just as fine, just as well. And speaking of tarot, and going back to the beginning of this conversation with don't feel like you have to know everything. If you're not interested in tarot, don't pick up tarot. If you're interested in oracle cards, get oracle cards and learn everything you can about them. If you're interested in runes, get the runes and do, you know, journal your runes. If you're interested in the pendulum as your source of divination, that's fine. You don't have to know them all. I don't know runes. Don't know the first thing about runes. So I would not be the person to come to ask questions about runes. I use tarot. I used oracle cards for a while. I had a fairy oracle deck that I thought was super pretty because, of course, I love fairies. I'm obsessed with fairies. I don't work with the fae, but I'm obsessed with fairies. And I do leave offerings for fairies. But And I just recently actually think I got something from the Faith Hope, which is kind of cool. But again, I don't work with them. So, lost my train of thought there, y'all. Sorry. Oh, just don't feel like you have to do it all. Don't feel like, oh, okay, well, I got to learn tarot. I got to learn oracle. I got to learn the runes. I got to learn, you know, pendulum. I got to learn Ouija. I don't do Ouija. But a lot of people feel like they have to know all of it. You don't have to know all of it. You just pick one that you can get really comfortable with and really good with and use that as your form of divination. And don't feel like you're less than because you don't know runes or you don't know, you know, tarot that you do the oracle cards instead. That doesn't matter. Or, you know, if you do wax reading or tea leaf reading, that kind of thing, or if you do mirror scrying or, you know, crystal ball gazing, that kind of thing. It's you pick one and let that be your one. Fire divination. You know, there's all different forms of divination, and you don't have to do them all. And you can do more than one. If more than one resonates with you, you can do more than one. But I would suggest that you try not to learn them all at once. I would suggest trying to build confidence in one to begin with and then add from there. That's what I would suggest.
So jumping right in, guys, as I said, March 9th is the full moon. And so I wanted to give you a little something that if you want to do. It's from the book Moon Spells by Diane Alquist. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's Alquist. I use her book a lot. I've referenced it before in this podcast. So this is on page 115. And it's a spell to help you make a past life connection. Necessary enhancements and magical tools. The necessary tools for this spell include any tools you have chosen for your formation as described below. You'll need wine or juice, white or red, a chalice or special cup, a small piece of polished or rough rose quartz, candles. You'll also need red, yellow, white, and pink candles to be lit after the spell is underway, placed in a row in front of you. All spells should begin with casting a circle, which is your shield of protection. If you're using a triangle or a square, cast your circle first and then cast your formation within it. Excuse me. The best formation for this spell is the triangle. Cast your formation using methods described in Chapter 5 of the book, using a wand, a knife, or an extended arm with fingers pointed, salt, or other material. The direction of face is north. Arrange candles and any tools or enchantments that you'll use in your formation. This should be done under a full moon phase. Most favorable days of the week for this is Monday, Tuesday, or Friday. And I believe that the full moon is on a Monday. So, yeah. So that works out, right? Optional enhancements. They'll add a deeper dimension to your spell, help you focus yourself more freely, but they are not necessary. And this spell can be cast even if you don't have these items available. A gemstone, the best gemstones to use for this spell is lapis, lazuli, or the carnelian. Using additional gemstones other than those recommended in your formation, place them in front of you if you're going to use different ones. Incense that will enhance is musk or dragon's blood. Place the incense in a safe place within your formation if you like it. However, start the incense outside of your formation. Music if you like music, soothing music, something that's not going to be distracting, like a drumming or flute or chanting, something instrumental, whatever you're comfortable with. And before you start, make sure you have no distractions. Turn your phone off. Play that soothing music. Sorry. Dim the lights. Wash your hands or shower beforehand. She really likes, that seems like very common in all her stuff, is she says that you should wash or shower beforehand. I assume that's so you bring no negativity into your circle. And then Light your incense if you're using it. Gather everything you need and have it close at hand. Draw your formation. Ask your higher power to allow the information to flow through you. The affirmation to be read within your formation before you actually begin your spell. Hear the whispers of this moon tonight. I sense you, but you do not know who you are or where you are. My mind travels to thoughts of you. Are we destined to be together, or is what I am feeling a part of a past life that once was and is no more? Are you a mere fantasy, or do you really exist? Oh, moon's energy, feel my dismay. Why does this lingering thought of a person I have never met intrigue me so? What holds us back from finding each other? Through grace, if this be my love, then keep us apart no longer. So how to perform this spell? Light the yellow candle and say, I am here, come to me. Take a sip of your wine. Light the red candle and say, feel me breathe. Light the white candle and say, may we have light to find each other. Take your rose quartz and pass it over and above the flame of the three candles, high enough so you do not burn yourself. Hold the rose quartz on your heart and close your eyes. Try to picture a silhouette of someone, but not a face. If no vision comes to mind, do not force it. Let it go for now. Finally, light the pink candle and recite this incantation. I gaze at the moon with her magical power. Are you gazing too at exactly this hour? I do not know you, nor words we have spoken. The spell is now cast and cannot be broken. Conclude with any statement that signifies, you know, you're so mote it be, blessed be, amen, whichever you use. Now extinguish your candles and release your formation. After you leave your circle, take your rose quartz and put it somewhere you will see it daily if possible. The next time you see another piece of rose quartz, buy it. Keep it out of sight. Know that someday you will give that to the person you're meant to be with, and eventually the two gemstones will sit side by side. So when this says this spell help you make a past life connection, that's not like a past life regression. I think that means like to find your soulmate. And then let's see there. She said to use the formation that's in chapter 5. So I'll tell you how to do that. So what she says is, the reason you make a formation of any kind is to center and ground your spell. It protects and holds the energy in place. Most people choose to cast circles. There is no beginning and no end, making it strong and effective and in of itself one. So that is a formation. However, she likes to cast a circle first and then a triangle or a square within it, which is powerful and protective for different types of spells. Therefore, I suggest one of the three formations for each individual spell. If you are not at ease with using a triangle or a square within a circle, stay with a circle only. Remember, never use a square or a triangle alone. Always cast them within your circle. As I have repeated, these are really your choices and there's nothing you should force. So what it is she's just saying she likes to cast a square or a circle or a triangle within her circle. So if that's something you want to try, you could do that. You remember you cast your circle and then within that circle is the triangle. And if you're going to do that, within that triangle is where you want to put all your items to add that. So that's a little full moon spell for you. Don't forget to make the full moon water. And then I wanted to also give you some little bit of self-care from the Witch's Book of Self-Care, Magical Ways to Pamper, Soothe, and Care for Your Body and Spirit by Erin Murphy Hiscock. She is also the author of The Green Witch. So in here, there's a ritual to connect to your world. So it's not just staying open to what the universe can give you that is important. It may be hard to believe, but you can give back to the universe and the world around you is equally significant. What you give back is significant. Speak this spell somewhere you feel connected to the world around you. Be in a forest, a field, a busy street. Do whatever you feel at one with the universe. Center and ground. And then say, Spirit of the universe, help me maintain my connection to the energy beyond myself. Help me remain open to the divine and the world around me. May I be receptive to the joy and love that flows to me. May this channel stay open and free, that I may in turn share with the universe what is unique within me. Let our dance carry on always. So may it be. So, this is a good little book. I like it. I would suggest it. There's a seasonal attunement. So, this one is when the weather's suitable, go outside in your yard or to a park where wear the appropriate footwear and clothing. Find somewhere that you feel comfortable. Close your eyes and take 3 slow, deep breaths, center and ground. If you're wearing gloves or mittens, take them off. Crouch down and put your bare hands on the ground. Feel the temperature, the grass, or the earth. Look around you. What do you see? What state are the trees in, the gardens? How would you describe the colors? Journal your feelings and findings. How does this attunement feel different from your previous ones? So after doing this for more than one annual cycle, you can start comparing your observations of a spring to a previous year's spring and that of any other prior years. And this way you can start to trace changes in your environment that might otherwise you may have never noticed. The other thing I think about that I like about the seasonal attunement is I think it is a good ritual to do on the Sabbaths. And so with a star coming up, that might be something that would be fun to do. It's a way to truly take in the Sabbath, because that's what it's the wheel of the year. That's about, that's what it's about. It's about the seasons changing. A star is about, you know, the spring and the, right now, I don't know where you're at, but where I'm at, I'm starting to see those very first little, flowers blooming, you know, your little, what most people would call weeds, but those little purple and yellow and white and pink ground flowers are popping up everywhere. And the soil, but though the soil is not warm, it's still cool. And so I think that that could be a very powerful and good thing to do on Sabbaths in a way to connect to the Sabbath. And it could be done, something that you could also do with little ones that would give them, you know, a way to kind of connect physically. Keeping in with the Ostara theme, this is from the Magical Yearbook, another book that I highly recommend by Danu Frost. I've referenced it loads of times. They talk about incense making and burning. In the Celtic tradition, the spring equinox is associated with winds and the element of air, which bring with them inspiration, refreshment, and change. This is a great time to try making your own incense or burning some as an offering to the spirits of spring. Burning incense is a potent magical act in its own right, and one that can have many purposes, such as to cleanse and bless the home, to honor the gods, and to accompany prayers for health and healing. The magical empowered incense ingredients corresponding to the practitioner's goals are transmuted via the fire into smoke, which carried by the air spirits permeates the environment and rises up to the heavens, touching everything in its path and helping to give new life to your intentions. Many herbs, gums, resins, oils, and even crushed crystals can be used in incense blends, whether for their magical correspondence or for their scents or colors. Frankincense, sage, and sandalwood are the most popular, as they are magically powerful, smell good, and don't need to be mixed with other ingredients. There are also many ready-made incense blends available, some of which have been created with a specific seasonal celebration in mind. Whenever you use incense, always give thanks to the spirits of the incense, the fire, and the air to make it extra magical. For simple cleansing incense for spring equinox, combine equal quantities of frankincense, pine needles, and rosemary in a pestle and mortar or crush with a knife on a chopping board, and then add a few drops of violet, hyacinth, or lemon oil to the dried ingredients until you feel the scent is attractive and well-balanced. Bless the incense by holding it up to the sun and asking in your own words the spirits of all the trees and herbs included that their magic be added to your blend. Thank the spirits before storing the incense in an airtight container. Burn the incense safely on a charcoal disc or in a censer or other heat-proof container. Pay special attention to the four directions, north, south, east, and west, as well as the doors and windows. So this is wafting the smoke around the house for simple energetic cleansing and blessings. So that's, I listened to another podcast. It's called That Witch Life. I think it's really good. They do one every other Monday. And their last one had an author on who has written a lot of books about herbs. And she, I guess, is writing another one about incense and the importance of incense. And on that podcast, this last one, That Witch Life, she's on there and she talks about the importance of incense and how it's kind of treated like a side, you know, we use it in ritual, but it's not part of ritual. And so she felt like we were basically not really tapping into incense the way we could, the potential that it has to be a part of ritual and not just something that's going on during ritual, and how we can really use incense to help manifest, and how it can be a part of a main focus, and a main ingredient of our ritual and spell work. So I would recommend listening to that podcast. I really enjoy it. It's three ladies who have known each other for a really long time. It's a lot of laughs, very good information on it. And like I said, that last one was pretty interesting. All of them are good. so I would highly recommend listening to that podcast if you get a chance. Another fun thing to do at Astara, on Astara, that you can do with family, with little ones, is seed blessing and seed planting. So now's the time to be planting your seeds indoors, getting ready for your garden, your herb garden or vegetable garden. And so now's the time to be doing that. And if you've already done that, it's okay. You can take Astara as a special time to do a seed blessing then. And that's something you can do with the kiddos. That's kid-friendly, family-friendly. Other thing you can do is a nature walk, and have the kids kind of go over the things that they notice. Where do they see spring coming out? Where do they notice the new growth, that kind of thing? And use it as an opportunity to talk about, you know, the growth that we go through and just how all that relates to the Wheel of the Year. Magical egg hunts, magical egg dyeing, decorating, painting. It's kind of like the pagan Easter. So, let's see. One of the herbs that is associated with Astara is lavender. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about lavender. I'm trying to kind of do everything today. Still going to give you stuff, you know, to do the herb, do all that, but I'm really trying to focus on Astara because that's coming up, and I want, if you've not ever celebrated a Sabbat before and you're really wanting to, I want to give you enough information that you can pull and choose and pick from and have a really nice Sabbat, because I think that's important to celebrate the Sabbats and feel connected that way. So lavender is, you know, it's a relaxing, calming, it's a pretty little plant. I like it. It's good for, we all know that people use it to help sleep. Lavender tea, help you sleep. Lavender essential oils is supposed to help you relax and sleep. It's actually a member of the mint family, and it's, did you know it had a folk name called elf leaf, which I thought was kind of fun. It's part of the elements that rule lavender are the air and water. And the signs that rule lavender are Pisces and Virgo. So if you're drawn to those, if you're one of those signs and you're drawn to lavender, that might be why. So chakras that work with lavender are your third eye. Lavender is used to used in love spells, banishing harmful spirits. You sprinkle the flowers along the floor of your home or business to ward away evil spirits. bake lavender into cookies or flavor your lemonade with a little bit of lavender to bring happiness. Increase intelligence, drink the tea, make a sachet, eat food created with lavender to increase brain power. Use lavender in your beauty routine. Burn lavender. Or use the fresh sprigs to sprinkle blessed water in your home to remove harmful energies. And then, of course, like I said, you know, helps relax. So a tea for sleeping, that kind of thing. And then, you know, medicinal purposes is the anxiety, depression, insomnia, stress. You know, you want to always, you know, make sure that you're not doing anything without consulting your physician or your doctor, or making sure that it's not going to interact with any meds that you're currently on. My intent is never to diagnose, treat, or cure. Just want to throw that out there. You probably, if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, you want to avoid large amounts of lavender. And it can be harmful if it's not diluted. All essential oils can be harmful if it's not diluted. You never want to just put a straight essential oil onto your skin. So that's a little bit about lavender. That'll be our herb for the day and or for this podcast. And then the other thing for Astara, you know, sometimes, like I've said, I'm trying to bring a little bit more of that kitchen witchery into the podcast. So my plan for that day is to probably make some hot cross buns. Hot cross buns, you have the four, you know, it's like the cross, the four in it. And that four is the four elements. And so that's what a cross can represent. It's not necessarily just a Christian symbol, but it also represents the four elements, so the four corners. So I'll probably make that. And then I'm considering making a quiche, since eggs are a big symbol with the spring equinox. I'm considering making a quiche, and I think I will make it and try to incorporate different vegetables in it that are colorful. And if I'm able to, I'm going to try and create a design on it. I don't know that I'll do a pentacle, or if I just try to do a really pretty mandala kind of look to it, or maybe just something springy. But that's my goal. That's my hope. So that's something that you can consider doing, is making food and having a meal that you share with your family. If it's a really nice day, you could go simple and have a picnic. That would be a good way. You know, hard-boiled eggs. For me, the egg is a big symbol of Ostara, and so I try to incorporate it into the meal. So cheese, chocolate, creams, custards, dandelion greens, edible flowers, eggs, you know, egg salads, hard-boiled eggs, fish, honey cakes, hot cross buns, jelly beans, eggs, sugared candies, milk punch, nettle tea, olives, pine nuts, pumpkin seeds, salads, seasonal local fruits and vegetables, sprouts, sunflower seeds, and yogurt. These are foods that are associated with Ostara. So I'm really hopeful that everybody has a great Ostara. And so that's what I've kind of focused on today. Now, the 9th is the full moon, and so don't forget to make your full moon water. And I gave you you know, something you can do on that as well. But I have tried to focus today's podcast mostly on Ostara, so that hopefully those of you who are really looking forward to trying to do something on that day don't feel overwhelmed and have been now given some things to do and, you know, feel like, okay, I can do this. So I would love for y'all to reach out to me at eclectickitchwitch@gmail.com. Again, that's eclectickitchwitch@gmail.com, eclectickitchwitch@gmail.com. I also have a Facebook page, Eclectic Witch, and I have a giveaway that I'm doing on it right now where I make lots of things. I make bath bombs, I make ointments, I make lip balms. I make candles. I do, and I don't have a business or anything. I'm not trying to sell. I may locally one day, looking at getting involved in some of the different, weekend markets and whatnot, but that's not my goal with this. But I did want to do a giveaway to my listeners. And so if you are able to, either email me eclectickitschwitch@gmail.com, or if you can find my Facebook page, there's a post on there about it. But my goal is I'd like to select a winner, by March 9th, and, shipping will be free in the U.S. And I'd like to send you a little bath bomb. So again, thanks for listening. I hope you found this useful. And I just want to encourage you to have fun, bring everyday magic into your life, live a magical life, and just have a great day and brightest blessings.